Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
Is here. Ooh, wishing, just wishing on a star that you'll send wretched things, sermons, stories, articles, anything wretched to idea@wretched.org. And if you'd like to express yourself with or without Madonna, 877-282-2337. That was a pretty current reference for me. Wasn't she the Express Yourself?
She was.
Song? Look at that.
You said current.
You got it. I could be a pastor of a mega church with that type of current reference. Please send your thoughts. 877-282-2337.
What's on your tie?
I don't like where this is going.
What? I'm just asking you.
No, I don't like where this is going. I can tell already. It's either going to be a terrible dad joke.
It's not a dad joke.
Did you get the one that I sent you about tuna?
I did. I stopped and laughed.
And you're even doing it now. Do you even remember the joke?
Yeah.
What was it?
It was, I have to go back and look it up.
It had something to do with tuna salad or fish or something.
Yeah, it was. I'll go back and find it. But
it's a mystery.
What's on your tie? You been drooling again? It wasn't a dad joke.
It's a paisley pattern. It's not saliva. Today,
okay,
although apparently I've been informed, I went to the website with my salivation issue, not salvation issue, no concerns there, salivation issue. It turns out I've either got cancer or I'm pregnant. Those are the two options that it's boiled down to. 877-282-2337.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah, Jimmy.
How long does it take to microwave fish?
I don't know, Jimmy.
2.5 minutes.
It's the second time you've heard the joke. It wasn't funny the first time.
You should have seen me the first time. I'm rather composed.
Wow. And suddenly I'm really thirsty. I've totally dried up. Thanks for the dad joke.
All right. Thanks, James. This is a text from Jacob. Hey, Todd, I'm from Canada. Your introduction always says, Todd, freakishly tall Friel. How tall are you?
Freakishly tall. 6'4.5". At least that's the last time. 6'4.5". When I jump, I'm 6'5". Hence, nobody from the NBA ever gave me a ring because the vertical, just not there. 6'4.5", which these days is short for tennis players. Have you seen the tennis players these days? They are all monsters. There's this kid from France, something Petchicard. He's got one of those hyphenated names. I can't say his French name. He's 6'8". And it's like he's got a ping pong paddle in his hand. He just bullies the ball. And he just, like, the court is like just this little, it's like, that's a child's, you're playing a child's game. It's too small for you. And he's strong. And he serves the ball, imagine this, 150 miles an hour. 150. 125 is a fast serve. 150. This dude is a moose. And all of the other players these days, they're way taller than they used to be, which I share with you because it was too tall when I was that age. Otherwise, I would have been a professional tennis ball player if I happened to possess the skills that are required at that level. 6'4.5", 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. He texted in, he says, Todd, I recently listened to your most recent episode of Sexual Sin in Marriage. The question is, how do I put on?
You talked in other words, put off.
Right. You talked about put off, and I understand that,
yeah.
But I know the needs be to.
All right, let's think it through. Let's think this thing through. So a young man is looking at pornography. Ephesians 4 says you got to put off that. You just got to put it off. But it also says, and you got to put on other things. And this is true for every sin. This context, it happens to be sexual. It happens to be pornography. All right, what is pornography doing? What's it doing? Well, it's doing a lot of stuff. Itemize the bad things that it does, right? You're sinning. Okay, so that we know is on the list. You are spending inordinate amounts of time doing that activity, plotting, planning, strategizing. What else are you doing? How's about you are just treating women horrifically? You're participating in the sex trade. No, that isn't hyperbole. That's what porn is. I suppose there are some women who do it voluntarily. They don't have to, even for the money, but many, I don't know what the percentage is, don't. They're either coerced, they're drugged, they are desperate and they see no way out, or they have been groomed. And you're participating in all of that. All right, so those are some of the things that you're doing that you need to stop. What would be the opposite of those things? Start using your time for better things. Instead of using your time to abuse, use it to serve. Instead of using your time to diminish women, how's about esteeming them? What could you do to serve? What could you do to lift up? What could you do to help? Use your time better. Use your energies better. Treat women better. Speak a better word about women. Those are some of the things that you could put on. Because the Bible, I think this is another proof that the Bible is supernatural. Because if I were writing a holy book, all I'd think about is put off. Stop it. Isn't that what all the religions, stop doing that. Or they might say do some things in order to earn your gateway to heaven or paradise or whatever they promise is at the other side, on the other side. But it has nothing to do with your particular sin. The Bible says, stop doing this, start doing that. So you're stealing so that you don't have to work? Well, stop stealing, go to work. You took money, now use money to give back. Instead of taking money from people, you give money to people. That's put off, put on. And you can do that with every single sin. In fact, we have to do that with every single sin. You have to do that. Ephesians 4. If you're looking for a reference, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Steve. Todd, my 14-year-old son has taken an interest in getting baptized. He seems to have a good understanding of its purpose, but has chosen to wait a year because he wants to do it at camp with his friends and counselors. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on waiting.
I don't want to dampen a young person's enthusiasm in being obedient. But I think that there's some issues here that you would do well to consider, Pop. I'm glad you are. It's smart to do that, because we've seen it too many times, young people getting baptized and then they run off to university and, well, I didn't live for the Lord for 15 years and then I came back to him and we recognize, well, that's because you weren't regenerated until you started living for the Lord, and now they want to get rebaptized. So I think parents are wise to slow the roll without totally shutting the door. If my 14-year-old said, I want to get baptized, I'd be like, rock on. I would want to do some exploration as to why, but here's the red flag that I see, that they're willing to wait a year. When you're saved and you recognize your first command as a child of God is to paint a picture of the gospel by getting baptized, by symbolically showing the world that you've died to yourself, you've been brought to new life in Jesus Christ. That I need to get that done now. Now I need to be obedient now. So if he's like, well, I want to do it in a year with my buddies, it indicates that maybe he doesn't understand the urgency of baptism, which means he might not understand its significance. It's not salvific, but it is the first command that our Lord gives to the new believer. Furthermore, if it's so that it can be with the other kids, they can see it. I would want to explore, why don't you want to do this now? I'd also maybe want to spend some time saying, you know, where you get your baptism done, it's not entirely irrelevant, but it's not important. I understand it would be cool to get baptized in the Jordan River, but it doesn't make your baptism any more efficacious, because your baptism, it's just a testimony. It isn't a sacrament that saves. It isn't a sacrament that forgives. It isn't a sacrament that earns merit. It is an ordinance that has been commanded by our God, and it really doesn't, I don't want to say entirely, doesn't entirely matter where you do it, because I think the ideal place to do it isn't at camp, and it's not in the Jordan River. I think it's in the context of your local church. Because in Acts chapter 2, we see people got preached, they got saved, they were added to the church. Bing, bang, boom. And for a lot of folks, and I think there's a strong argument for this, don't know that I'd make it a law, your entrance into the church is through baptism. So I would want to explore a lot of those things before I just let it trail off for another year. This... Wretched Radio. Told you I'm pregnant. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you looking for biblical answers to life's toughest questions? Are you tired of shallow solutions that don't lead to real change? Welcome to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford.
If you're dating someone that's not really convinced that Jesus rose from the dead, like hit the eject button. What are you doing? That's dangerous because they're not actually a Christian. They don't believe in the gospel.
Every week, Dr. Gifford brings you deep, practical wisdom from God's word, showing how scripture provides the framework for genuine transformation in your life, in your family, and in your walk with Christ. Whether you're struggling with difficult relationships or battling addictive habits, or just simply seeking to grow deeper in your faith, you'll find rock-solid biblical guidance that points you to Christ. Transformed is not just another Christian podcast. It's your weekly appointment with biblical truth. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's available at Fortis Plus and on all major podcast platforms. You can find out more about Transformed and Dr. Greg Gifford now at fortisinstitute.org.
There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Master's Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Master's Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Master's Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted. His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages,
and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A question for a question. This is Wretched Radio, Jimmy. Yes. During the break, you said you'd actually question the guy's question about whether or not his child should be allowed to wait a year to get baptized at camp.
Well, he expressed that his son has a good understanding of the purpose of baptism, but I would question that because right. It doesn't sound like he does.
Well, that... very possibly, or he just hasn't considered it. It's not like he's being rebellious.
No, I agree with that, but I think it would do good. And you were right there all over it, but I think he would do.
But I missed the bullseye.
No,
that's fine.
I was just saying that explaining that you don't want to delay being obedient, especially to the first command that we're given once we become Christians, for a special occasion, because that's unintentionally placing the significance on the occasion rather than the heart of obedience.
And I also think that there's another conversation that we do well to have. Who does the baptizing? A camp counselor that you're not going to see again, or your pastor who is going to be shepherding your soul. And I'll even throw this in there. I'll just tell you before I do, I don't think we need to make a law over it, but we should at least be thinking about and discussing whether or not it is the pastor or the parent who does the baptizing. I get it. It's a sweet family moment. I totally get that. But baptism isn't about your biological family. It's about you've joined a new spiritual family. And as we see, can't make a law over historical narrative in Acts chapter 2. But what we see are people got saved and then they got added to the church. And so this was their public profession. And where did they go from there? Unless, you know, the foreigners, and they went back to their own country. But they would go into the church in Jerusalem, where they were underneath the authority of the elders. Baptism, I do get it. I'm not an insensitive jerk. Well, okay, I'm a jerk. But the insensitive part, on occasion, I can understand why a parent would want to be involved in the baptism. But that isn't the symbolism of the ceremony. It is about new life in Christ. The dead, the old, it's gone. I'm raised to new life in Christ. And I am now a part of the kingdom of God. Whether your family is or isn't, that's your spiritual family. And that's what it symbolizes, an entrance into this kingdom that's expressed in the context of the local church. So I would put it this way. Ideally, not necessarily, but ideally, I think it is best, which would then be redundancy, ideally bestest to get baptized by your pastor in your church. And make it snappy. I know that during this conversation, out of the tens and tens of people who listen to this here Wretched Radio program, somebody's going, I'm not baptized, and you're listening keenly. I would tell you, get on it. Hurry up. Okay, I think it's so urgent that you are obedient. Let's just say that I'm just going to do a scenario which will sound totally contrary to what I just expressed about what I think is the ideal scenario, being baptized in the context of your local church by your local pastor. You're overseas somewhere and you're away from your local church and you're not baptized and you're not going to be home for 3 months. Get baptized. Get baptized now. Be obedient now. Where do I get that? Well, consider Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. There's some water. What are we waiting for? Let's get now. Now, I don't think that contradicts what I said about the ideal scenario, but I think the urgency would override the ideal because you're commanded to do it. And every day that goes by, I don't think that God is going to strike you dead. But I think that we fail to remember that our Savior said, do this, get baptized. And it's exactly what we see in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. They believed and they got baptized. And you should do likewise. And then You can send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I'm a teacher at a public school. Every day I work with students who are not followers of Christ. In a profession where I am not allowed to share my faith, how do I share Christ with kids who need to hear about him?
Yep, that's a little bit tricky because you've got an employer. And if your employer says, during these hours when I am compensating you, I do not want you talking about these things, let me perhaps relieve your conscience. I don't think you're sinning if you don't. You're not hired to evangelize. You're hired to teach the subject matter. And if the boss says, don't want you, now, if you're in a school and the principal and the staff and the board and you're probably very rural someplace, they don't have a problem with it, then rock on. Then I can think of all kinds of ways to do that. I would use the subject matter. There's your springboard. If it's science, if it's art, you can use all of those. Why do you think that picture is beautiful and that one isn't? Where did, with this whole concept of beauty, where do you think that came from? How is it that we've determined what is beautiful? Is everything subjective, or is there some form of objective beauty and standard that determines there are some things that are better looking, more pleasing to the eye than others? And boom, there you are, because now you're talking, of course, about God. So I think you can use the subject matter if you have permission or you haven't been busted, but I don't think that you need to feel guilty if you're being obedient to your boss. That's the agreement. Having said that, I'm so glad you've got a burning desire to share the gospel with them. You might do well to find a forum, maybe Living Waters has something like this, of teachers who are in a very similar situation as you. How do they say it to the kids? How do they let them know that they're available after school if they want to meet to discuss things? There might be some technicalities and legalities to that, and I suspect that there are others that you could talk to who have learned what those things are. But I don't think that that means that you have to shut the door on evangelizing. Or you could invite them to things outside of school. Or you could simply let everybody know, hey, just so you know, I hold a meeting. We do a Bible study after school. Now, could it be that the school shuts you down on that? Yeah, I suppose it's possible. Not sure I wouldn't call ADF lickety split. But I think that you can do it outside of the school time. Or you can even do it during the break time at schools. There's an organization. Oh, I wish I had that in front of me. And it looks really good, because if the kids can be taught religious things, if they're taken off the campus for like an hour a day, and it's a ministry that helps teachers to do that, so that they can evangelize their kids. So do some Googling on that. I'll try to look for it too, and I'll drop that if I can find that. Ask other teachers. Obey your boss at the school. You're not sinning if you don't, but I do believe that you can find ways where you can. You got anything else, Jimmy, that might help this teacher?
No, I mean, I think, you know, it's really hard, but you have to, you know, be obedient to your boss. Obviously, you can't do that, but there are things that you can do that would, you know,
not cross the line.
There's things that you can say, and just how you overall treat the students, that's gonna cause them to ask questions.
You know, it's interesting. All of these times that we've talked about how the university students these days are so desirous of an adult to take interest in them, that I'm telling you, you have to go to a university campus and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, where they're like, you're interested in me? I'll sit here all day. Will you just keep asking me questions and talking like you actually know something that's more important than just what it is that I'm studying here? What about, though, the teachers? And they do have some lines, I think, that they need to be aware of and not cross. But the students outside of the classroom are no different than when they're in the classroom. And if you're a Christian teacher, love on those kids, take interest in those kids, and then don't be surprised when they do want to spend more time with you, because I'm telling you, they are like, they're like a, I'm thinking of like a clay pot that's all cracked because it just needs, it needs some moisture. They are dry and they're so thirsty, and you could pour it into them by being kind to them, loving with them, showing interest in them, not being impatient with them, investing in them. Oh, that's a lovely ministry. And then I think organically, some of those things are just going to take care of themselves. And some of the students, you might be, I'll bet the ratio is higher. I don't know whoever did a study on this, probably Lifeway. How many kids tend to be attracted to a really good teacher? I'm sure it's not the whole class, but there's, let's say that when Jimmy was in school 100 years ago, it was 3 out of the 30 students. I'll bet it's closer to 30. Mm-hmm. That would be interested in you because you've shown interest in them. Cultivate that ministry. I think that you could have a massive impact on a lot of lives and simultaneously not get fired. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, here's some progress for you. New York City has just legalized jaywalking. Want to know why? Well, it's because enforcing traffic safety laws is apparently racist. Despite nearly 200 pedestrian deaths in 5 years, the city council believes the real problem was the law itself. Yep, when your ideology trumps public safety, nobody wins. And now to Afghanistan, where the Taliban continues its war on women with a new edict. Women are now banned from even hearing other women's voices in public. Coming 3 years after the Biden administration's disastrous withdrawal, Afghan women face increasingly severe restrictions on their basic human rights. And you know, isn't it funny how we never hear feminists speak about these issues? But something they are speaking about, masculinity, even positive masculinity, according to the New York Times, is problematic. According to their latest essay, the solution isn't to stop pressuring women to act like men. No, it's to eliminate the concept of masculinity altogether. When your worldview requires half the human race to deny their nature, maybe it's time you question your assumptions rather than everyone else's. New Brunswick has elected a new liberal government that campaigned against parental rights in schools. Susan Holt has promised to reverse policies requiring parental consent for teachers using different names or pronouns for students under the age of 16. Folks, as a reminder, as we inch closer and closer to next week, elections have consequences. And in this case, they'll be felt by families first. Beverly Tillery, who is the former director of New York's Gay and Lesbian Anti-Violence Project, that's a mouthful, was fired for allegedly mismanaging funds. And her response, well, she's suing the board for racism, claiming they've become too conservative. When you question accountability, the only defense you have, apparently, is to cry discrimination. Now to Harvard, where they're reading Taylor Swift lyrics as sacred texts, using ancient Christian practices to venerate pop songs. Oh, that's fun. And meanwhile, a male job applicant is suing Hooters for, quote, sex discrimination after being denied employment as a waitress. And these are two examples where some stories just write their own commentaries. Nothing from me needed at all. Finally, we'll wrap with some good news. A missing runner has been found alive after surviving a month in Washington's wilderness without supplies. Robert Schock is his name, and he was rescued by trail workers who heard his final cry for help. That means he was on the brink of death when he was finally found. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to be a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
My name is Todd, and this is Jimmy A.I. Hicks. What? Take it away, Jimmy. You found the deal, the thing where people can go to find out what they can do on school's property as teachers to share the gospel with the kids.
That's right. It's the Christian Educators Association. ChristianEducators.org is the website. And they provide Christian teachers with resources and legal guidance and community support to help you navigate how to live out your faith in the public school without violating regulations.
Boom shalagalaga. The website address again is
ChristianEducators.org.
This is Wretched Radio. If you've got other ideas, send them to idea@wretched.org. And don't forget, you can still call or text 877-282-2337.
Right, this is from Josiah. Todd, I listened to you saying that a Christian man should not marry or date unless it has been a year since he looked at pornography. Made me wonder, would the same apply to a woman who sins in that way?
Yes.
I know men and women are different.
No.
Are there sins that a woman would bring to a relationship that would harm a brother in Christ?
Well, there could be some other sins besides pornography, but yeah, sexual sins, like that category, it is unique in that there's no other sin that so affects the body. It affects your body. It affects your mind. It is a big deal. Could there be other sins, though, that if it is a pattern in somebody's life, that they would do well to wait and demonstrate that they've got it under control? For it was an arbitrary number. I didn't mandate, as if I could, a year. I just said I would think at least a year. It was 3. I got it. I figured it out. All Creatures Great and Small, season 4 is on. So if you're looking for something that is more benign than Walton's Mountain, All Creatures Great and Small, it's the veterinary clinic in Great Britain. It's right now, it's right after World War II. It was originally way more Christian than the version that's on the PBS machine. And it was the woman, her husband had not, she hadn't seen him in years. And she now there's a man in the village who's expressed interest in her. And so she goes to the government office to file for a divorce. She didn't want to say it out loud because then divorce was a shameful thing. And so she gets the paperwork for it. And the fellow said, have you seen him within 3 years? That's an arbitrary number. But for abandonment, back then, if All Creatures Great and Small is accurate, they determined, hey, it's got to be at least 3 years to be considered genuine abandonment. Now, where they came up with that number, I don't know, but it was a long time because you want to make sure that it's actual abandonment. And the same thing is true with sins. Whether it's porn, it could be a temper issue. It could be a worldly woman. Okay, let's just to be fair here. So let's say a guy, he doesn't watch porn, but wow, that anger. I would say he has to demonstrate he's got that under control. And I would pick an arbitrary number like a year. Why? You want to expose a woman to that volcano? Look, marriage is a big deal. And you want to especially protect women because men, I know it's not considered scientific anymore, but they're bigger, they're stronger, they're louder, they're more prone to doing harmful things. You want to make sure those things are under control. Now, let's just say it's a woman who's super worldly. And she just, you know, self-presentation, it's everything. And, you know, buying the best and storing up. And I would say you want that under control too. Because there's going to be some issues in that marriage. Now, those are just random sins, but I think that there are other ones. If there's somebody who's a pride month, look, everybody's a sinner. We certainly get that. And so much of that does get revealed once you say, I do. But there's just some big stuff that you need to show. I'm not that anymore. And I think you need to pick an amount of months, amount of years, if you want to show to the individual that you desire to spend the rest of your life with. That person's going to be cooped up with you in one house for decades. You owe it to them. You owe it to them. So pick a time. You got something more biblical? Okay. 777 days. There, that's biblical. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Sawyer. Todd, my boss called me into the office today. He asked me a question about salvation and how to be saved. I explained to him faith by grace, and he didn't respond. He had issues with grace. Mm. He said that it's terrible that someone can be so terrible and get saved by faith, yet someone can be good and not saved. Yeah,
well, there's the issue right there. Mm. That's the crux of it right there. He doesn't think he's a bad person. So I think what he's actually saying to you is there is no way that I should be damned. I don't need a grace. I would encourage you, open up the law. Let it sit on his conscience. I was thinking about doing this, and I still might. There's a young man at the gym that I just keep bumping into, and we chat a little bit. And he's not a believer. And I have not had the opportunity yet because I'm super focused at the gym. I just want to get from one set to the next set, standing around chatting and stuff. And the last time I saw him, I thought, I wonder if I should just open up the law and let it sit there till the next time I see him at the gym. I've done that before on university campuses where I will not give the gospel. I'll end with the law. It's somebody who is... And you don't always know, because sometimes when somebody's yelping a lot, it's because they got hit and they're scalding from what you're saying. But it hasn't happened a lot, but maybe a half a dozen times when I thought, I'm going to withhold the gospel. This person's just being belligerent and snarky and dismissive. Okay, so why don't you just think about spending eternity in hell? Take care. And I've left them. Because I know that if God is convicting them of sin, righteousness, and justice, he'll find somebody who can give them the gospel. And that sometimes people's, it needs to just sit. The weight of their sin needs to sit on people. You might have to do it with this fellow. You know, let me explain that. You said that a good person shouldn't go to hell. Well, let's just do a little survey. Name all the good people that you're talking about. And he's probably going to go, well, me, my grandmother was really nice. All right. So then the next question is, by what standard? Who defines what good is? And the answer to that question is the judge. The judge has the law book. The judge is sworn to uphold justice. He determines who is good, who is naughty, who is nice. And that is God. And here's his standard. Now let's see if you really are a good person and open up the law and get to his conscience. 877-282-2337.
Hey, Todd.
Two-in-one program, Jimmy.
This is gonna
test the limit of our friendship. You know that, don't you?
This is a text. I swallowed a bunch of synonyms this morning.
A bunch of synonyms.
Gave me the sorest throat I ever had. That was from Jim Osmond. I told him he was never invited back.
We hadn't made that clear already. Actually, Jim is going to be back, I think, next year.
Yep.
Am I correct?
You are, next September.
Next September, he's going to be... You want to hear something? Do you remember the last time that he and Justin Peters were here?
Yes.
I was gone. Mm-hmm. And so they just did radio without me, perfectly capable of doing it. And I was gone. Well, they're going to be in town again next September. And guess what? I'm gone again.
You're gone again. That's pretty standard.
But that's I'm usually never gone on the weekends. I'm almost always here. And the two weekends that these guys come to town, I happen to be gone. So they're coming back next September. Mm-hmm. And they'll be hosting the program. I think we're going to spend a day. They're going to come in early. We'll spend a day in the TV studio. Jim Osmond, he's a faithful. I was going to say he's just a faithful pastor. And in my mind, I went, well, that makes it sound diminutive. And then the other side of my mind said, no, that's like the greatest compliment that you can give to a guy who's an under shepherd of Jesus Christ. Because they're humble. I'm just a pastor. That's what I do. I shepherd and I care for the sheep. If you got yourself one of those, praise God. Be super slow to ever leave that church. I'm telling you. Because if you got yourself an under shepherd, he might not go down in the oratory hall of fame. I would trade oratory. Oratory, it's nice. If a guy gets to, he speaks well, cool.
Just swallow a bunch of synonyms.
You see, that's the problem with that joke. There's two problems with it. You can't swallow synonyms. And I immediately think, did you mean cinnamon? That life cereal that you're talking about? No matter how you slice it, Jim Osmond, just a pastor. Lame! This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You ever notice how many voices are just clamoring for your attention these days? It seems like every week there's a new theological trend, another fresh interpretation of the Bible. Well, that's exactly why we've launched Fortis Institute. Drawing from 1 Corinthians 15:58, we're committed to helping you stand firm. Through Fortis Plus, you're going to get free access to 7 new pieces of audio and video content every single day, hundreds of hours of biblical content, exclusive director's cuts. But here's the thing, we're only able to continue providing this fortress of truth with the support of faithful gospel partners just like you. Your monthly gifts help us reach millions of people all over the world with the uncompromising biblical truth of God's word. So if you're ready to stand firm with us, just visit us at fortisinstitute.org and become an ongoing monthly gospel partner today. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
The lost generation wandered without direction after World War I. Well, today, there's another war raging. It's a cultural battle, and it's leaving young men disoriented and directionless. Raised on unfiltered entertainment and endless online content, Gen Z is facing unprecedented challenges with loneliness and depression. But there is hope. That's Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson.
We want to be the biblical ideal of being a man, which means that we want to be loving, patient, kind, and we want to exercise humble leadership.
As Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. That's Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, and it's available right now at Fortis Plus and all of your favorite podcast platforms. And you can also visit fortisinstitute.org to learn more about Dr. Adam Tyson, Way of Manhood, and all of our other content.
Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You can preach your own sermon, Pally Boy. Can I call you Mr. Pally Boy? This is Wretched Radio. So I'm not going to be at that conference next year.
Right.
You're filling in.
Yeah, I am.
Uh-huh. Well, and you said the least I could do then is write your sermon.
That's right.
Uh-uh.
Why?
Well, if I had an extra 15 hours, I'd jump all over it, Jimmy.
You plagiarized so much from me.
Please send stuff to 877-282-2337. What's the conference about?
Evangelism.
Nobody's going to go.
Well, don't say that.
You're going to be crickets. You're just going to whistle right through it. Don't order much Chick-fil-A. You're not going to need it. Okay. That was Ray Comfort's lament. I don't know if he still has that bellyache, but he would talk about having an evangelism conference. And it can there down the hall, there's parenting and there's a ton of people packing it out. And then for the evangelism, crickets. Nobody shows up. It's kind of fascinating in that most people who don't evangelize say, well, I'm not trained. And then training is offered and they don't avail themselves of it. If that describes you, figure out your excuse and I'll bet it's more overcomable than you think. For instance, you think I'm not a silver-tongued orator. I can't do that type of work. Well, wait a second. Who says that being slick in your presentation is better than authenticity? And a stammering tongue that just exudes concern for the person, that's worth far more than being smooth in your delivery. Figure out what your objection is and then get equipped. And I think the best way to get equipped, this would probably be the single most helpful suggestion I could offer. You don't need to study and know everything about everything. You need to know your gospel. That's what you need to know. The gospel. That's it. And if you've got that down, they can knock you all around, take you off the trail, and you're going to know to get back because it's like, this is it. God is holy and just. We're not. We deserve his temporal and eternal punishment. But God is rich in mercy and sent forth his son. The response is a broken-hearted repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save. Now, you get that memorized, and you're not going to get beat around by somebody piping up about, well, I read once that there was a guy who predicted that the president would say that half of America is garbage, and he was Catholic. What do you do about that? I don't know, but let's get back to God is holy, just, and righteous. And we're not. Wouldn't you agree with that? Don't you ever think about what God would do with somebody who's got dirty hands and an unclean heart and a mouth that just pours forth bad speech, sinful speech, and has thoughts in our heart that if the world knew about it, we would be ashamed? What are you going to do? You can do this. You can do it. You just got to know the basics. And if they ask a question, well, I was reading about the assembling of the New Testament canon, and you're going, oh, no, I'm getting into apology. You know, that's really interesting. I should probably study that a little bit more myself, but, and then get back to the gospel. You can do it. And we're commanded to, by the way, to always be prepared. Always be prepared to give a reason. Make the most of every opportunity, and the opportunities abound. And quite honestly, depending on how the election goes next week, you better take advantage while the window is still open because it could shut. Whoa, did you see that interview with Kamala Harris? She was asked, it was an NBC reporter, Haley somebody. She doesn't spell it right because that's not the way my daughter spells it. So she asked the question about, do you think that there could be any compromise for religious objections to abortion? And her answer basically was, not a chance. No. In other words, the right, air quotes, right to an abortion supersedes the actual rights that we have codified in our founding documents. Right to an abortion. Oh, what did I read? You know, the whole reproductive health. Oh, it was Virgil Walker. No, Daryl Harrison. I get those two confused. They're two peas in a pod. Are they still doing their podcast together?
I think so.
Okay. Daryl Harrison said something like it wasn't reproductive health. I think it was the trans. What do they call that? A gender affirming care. No, reproductive health or gender affirming care. It's like calling slavery job creation. Mm. Ooh, right to an abortion and your religious rights go in the trunk. That woman is just bent on it. In fact, I think I've got something here about that. She is just so bent on abortion. Her whole platform is all about she just wants to kill babies and mutilate children. don't know if you saw that. I don't watch him very often, but there was a little snippet of Bill Maher with Megyn Kelly. And Megyn Kelly said that they mutilate and they lop off healthy body parts off of children. And the crowd was like, because they bought the narrative, oh, that doesn't happen. And even Bill Maher went, what are you yapping about? That's exactly what is going on. There are a number of issues. I know that we don't have a genuine pro-life candidate. I know that. And I don't want to just, well, then I guess we got to look at some other issues. But when we do look at some other issues, there is one that is radically wicked. There's just no other way to describe what she wants to do to children in the womb and outside of the womb. It's abominable, deplorable. It is wicked. All right. Sorry. Wasn't going to do this. Uh-oh. Here are my glasses right here. There was a very helpful in Christian Post. All right. So for whatever this is worth, if you're one of those Christians who's thinking about sitting it out, just give this a hearing if you would be so kind. Under a Trump administration, your government will pay for your insurance company will be mandated to pay all costs associated with in vitro fertilization treatment. That's bad. That's a bad thing. Why? Because in vitro fertilization, almost like 99.9% of the time, involves freezing human beings that will never be recovered. Number two from the Christian Post. He's going to kick all of the life stuff back to the states. Here's the problem. Most of the states are going to vote for abortion. And what I just find absolutely deplorable in all of this, with Agenda 47, he's vowing to implement what would work to stop the chemical, physical, and emotional mutilation of our youth. I say, yay, you want to sign that on a federal level. Why not abortion? It should be signed at a fed. If we think mutilating children outside of the womb is bad, how's about we think it's bad on a federal level when we mutilate children on the inside? Having said all of that, he still wants to stop the mutilation of children. That's a good thing, right? Trump will ask Congress to declare that Title IX, the federal civil rights law requiring equal opportunities for women in education, prohibits trans-identified males from competing in women's sports. Under Kamala, you're going to see all kinds of dudes in the girls' locker room. Agenda 47. One of the plans includes a homeschool parent can receive a $10,000 per year. I don't know if it's a tax credit, but it's for their homeschool expenses. That's Trump. I don't think we can anticipate that with Kamala. He declared an intention to inform states and school districts that if any teacher or school suggests to a child that they could be trapped in the wrong body, they will be faced with severe consequences, including potential civil rights violations for sex discrimination and the elimination of federal funding. Okay, not where we want him to be on the life issue, but this isn't insignificant, is it? He expressed support for the promotion of positive education about the nuclear family and the roles of mothers and fathers. He'll cut federal funding for any school pushing critical race theory, transgender insanity, and other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content on our children. And he'll pursue civil rights investigations into any school that engages in race-based discrimination. He also pledged, this is actually, it's not a moral issue, but I think it's an important issue for the country. He's going to reinstate the 1776 commission, which he originally created, but was disbanded by Joe Biden on his first day, to ensure American children learn the truth about their country's history and the timeless principles of liberty and equality. He wants to sign a parental bill of rights that includes complete curriculum transparency and a form of universal school choice. All right. The abortion thing. It's bad. The Republican Party has abandoned pro-lifers. Not entirely, but mostly. But there are other issues. And children will be harmed if a wicked woman is elected president. That's more babies will die underneath an evil president. If you're thinking about sitting it out, I get it. I think we all understand why. It's by no means ideal, but there are still some other issues. And when little babies and when young children are being killed and mutilated, I would simply encourage you, get in there, plug your nose, and vote for the one who will do less evil. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.